You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Planning to go see this movie after listening to our review? Well, click on the helpful Fandango link right at the bottom of the page to buy your tickets. About the bronze medal, I have a feeling this movie wouldn't actually place.
No, not at all.
not an award winner.
No, definitely not. More like a lead-lined medal.
A lead-lined?
Yeah, I think so. All the people that were probably eating lead, especially when you're surrounded by such a horrible character.
It would get like a participated award.
Yeah, right? Yeah. A gold star.
Like, you showed up. You made a movie.
Congratulations. It is technically a movie.
Yeah. It has a plot. Kind of?
No, I mean, it has a plot. It just has one we've seen a lot of times before. This is the highly suspect review of The Bronze. I'm Chris.
I'm Emily.
Herman.
And it always makes you laugh the way you say that. I don't know why.
Well, I say it mad.
Nah.
No, see, it's the Northeastern in me. We all have an edge to us. Yeah.
You're going
to
be snarky now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Is this as bad as Eddie the Eagle? I have to think about it a little bit.
I liked Eddie the Eagle a lot.
Yeah, well.
But let me start off by telling what this is about. This is brought to you through the production banner of the Duplass Brothers, who have done some very good stuff and some very not-so-good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they tend to be... It feels like their films are always just a little bit more off the beaten path than this is. The one difference with this one, which is following the very... unlikable, intentionally, character of their star, Melissa... I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name.
Rash. Let's go with Rash.
Who was known for playing Dr. Bernadette Rosentowski-Wolowitz on Big Bang Theory, which, once again,
That's where she's from.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. No, well, I'm not a fan. My mother always watches it, and she's a big fan of it.
Right.
No. Don't start spreading that rumor.
His mom likes it.
Oh, God.
Bazinga!
Yeah.
Look at him smile.
He's remembering when Nimoy was on.
No. My mother calls every week. She's always saying that. Well, she wants to, you know, what Sheldon's doing, what Leonard's doing. I know all the characters, but, oh, God.
Well, she plays a former bronze medal Olympic winner in the gymnastics who kind of became America's sweetheart briefly when basically she had injured her foot and then still managed to finish out and do a pretty spectacular finish on the bars, their last thing, even though she came in third. And the thing is, she's just the biggest thing in her tiny little hometown of Amherst, Ohio. It's 14 years later. She goes everywhere wearing her still Olympic, like, outfit, mm-hmm. you know, like, everywhere she goes. She never wears anything different. She lives with her dad, Gary Cole, who, why he's put up with her as long as he has is anybody's guess, you know, and that this isn't real, so.
No.
You know, my dad would have been like, you go out and you get a job right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as the Olympics were over.
I mean, she's a borderline psychopath in this film.
She is definitely a true narcissist in the sense that there is nothing else but that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In her. And, you know, she goes around taking advantage of still getting free stuff through this tiny town. Everybody knows who she is, even though she treats them like all like shit.
Yep.
But when there's a new young gymnast that's being trained by her old trainer in the town.
A German woman.
Yeah, Russian.
Russian. Yeah.
She's immediately jealous. And then the trainer dies and sends a letter to her house saying, hey, I have $500,000 that's all yours if you become her new trainer and take her all the way to the end of her cycle, basically to the Olympics, if you get her there. So I think she goes into this going, sure, I'll take your money and I'll go in there and I'll do everything possible to completely ruin this girl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But of course, events happen where she ends up going, okay, now I'm actually going to really try and train her for real and yada, yada, yada. And love interest, Thomas Middleditch, and you get it.
It's, you know, I know that you're not supposed to like the character in the film, the main character, but it's still like, I just don't want to put up with them. It's just, this film reminded me of Young Adult with Charlize Theron and Patton Oswalt,
mm-hmm.
and where it's like, why should I follow this character? Why should I care for them? You know, okay, it's like, is it trying to be funny? Not really. It's more like a super dark comedy where none of the jokes really land for me.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really felt like, It was too dark. I didn't know what the payoff was. And then the whole culmination is this event, but it wasn't the Olympics. Like, she had won a bronze in the Olympics, and then they were just at some competition in Toronto. Like, there was all this hype, but it wasn't based on anything where, like, oh, I feel, like, the excitement of that. It was, like, very flat.
You didn't even get the sense of, like, a good underdog story.
Right.
No, no. Right. Because you don't care for the underdog.
Yeah, well, I mean, the character, the girl she's training, that she's just such a...
Ditz.
Like, just really. Absolute, like I'm a good little Christian girl. Huh? Mm-hmm, is that... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and she's, like, trying to corrupt her and teaching her to say fuck and, you know. And you're like, so our whole... We're supposed to take some sort of schadenfreude in the at first in the destruction of this innocent girl. Who, admittedly, I wouldn't hang out with any more than I would hang out with the main character.
Right, no, right. Yeah.
But, like... I feel like the one difference in this film between this and other unlikable main characters who learn a life lesson
like
along
Eddie.
The way is that this one, like young adult, the one you brought up, is trying for hard R, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like going, okay, let's see how degrading we can actually make this film, how nasty the language and insults can be,
right.
You know? Even down to having... One of the most inexplicably bizarre extended sex scenes I've ever seen.
That was probably the most impressive point in the film. Featuring the Winter Soldier, for all of our listeners.
That was
right there.
Sebastian Stan, playing kind of her nemesis, you know, who she's still attracted to anyway.
Yeah.
Like there's a full-on gymnasts having crazy sex sequence that is definitely a hard R sequence in and of itself.
Absolutely.
That is, like, impressive if for no other reason that were those stunt people? I don't know.
They had to be. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like, the movie, I was really tuned out, and then I was like, oh, this makes it worth watching.
Yeah.
Because it was so, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it's so entertaining.
I don't know if, that one scene was worth an hour and a half or however long this movie was.
108 minutes.
Felt longer than that to me.
An hour and a half. Well, just because it's so much of her just berating everyone. I mean, there are
nasty,
points.
Just being a bitch.
Where you're just like. Like, she is so mean to her dad, who is genuinely a really sweet, nice dude, that I just wanted to go and, like, I don't know, just arrest her or something?
Yeah.
There should be something you could go to jail for.
He's a mailman. Don't they have, like, a power to do that? I don't know, maybe.
Well, he technically could have arrested her. She's even breaking into his truck and stealing mail looking for money.
Again. Like, it was like, how many times does somebody... That is a federal offense. Like, there were so many inconsistencies where...
Oh, but
not to be a total nerd.
That's the thing.
That doesn't add up.
That's the thing that annoys me most about this film is that she is such a horrible person, and so many people just let her get away with everything, where everyone's either dumb or super naive. And I guess as someone who's kind of from the Northeast or kind of the Great Lakes area, they kind of play up that, I don't know what it is, but just that the accent where it's like, oh, frickin' and oh, okay. It's like, I don't know. To me, it's like, are you trying to insult where I'm coming from? And I'm like, you're trying to portray everyone as really dumb or something like
it
that?
Felt
but it
like
just.
They watched Fargo.
Yeah.
And went, isn't that funny how everybody's so nice?
Mm-hmm.
And then thought, what if the most horrible person ever was right in the middle of them, but they all had a sense of pride with her, so they just put up with everything that she did? You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, that's not. Because in Fargo, you like all those people. They're naively sweet, but still you're kind of like, aw. And here you're just like, this whole town has brain damage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was too weird. I mean, it didn't feel like the movie had respect for the characters in it. Like, just because they were all so dumb.
And it wants you in the third act to start really feeling like these are real people.
Right.
You know, as it starts to try and find an emotional center. And you're like, I always have a problem with that, where it's like, look, you've played every character in this as this enormous spoof of a human being. You know, that just implausible these people could even exist. And then you want us to feel something for them.
And then it's too late. End.
And then by then I'm like, yeah, I just don't believe this. The whole thing is an unrealistic cartoon. I never had anybody I could identify with in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? What does make me laugh was on the way here, Evelyn, you're telling me. It's like, you know what really pisses me off? There's a scene where she puts... like pot just straight up in a blender to get the girl all stoned, and she's like, you can't get high just eating pot like that.
No, you need to add heat to the weed to make the body be able to process the cannabinoids. So I mean, from a science perspective, that is really under my skin.
It's true. You gotta make oil or butter or something like that first.
From that point, I was like, this movie's dead to me.
Inconsistent.
I think I was out long before that point, yeah. But I thought about that as well.
We were in extremely comfy seats. So
like part of the gimmick, the thing is the whole time she's wearing this very bulky jumpsuit thing, and she eats nothing but hugely fattening junk food and always has a giant, super big gulp of the, as they make a point of saying, soda, not diet soda. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, there is no way she wouldn't be Melissa McCarthy sized at this point.
Yeah.
Right? And they insinuate through the whole thing that, yeah, she's like way out of shape. But then when it gets to the sex scene, she's in this ideal, perfect shape.
Because they're doing that for laughs. That's why.
But that was like kind of, it was like, that scene would have been even funnier if they were trying to do that and she was totally out of shape and they just keep completely falling all over the place and it's really embarrassing. And instead they made it look like some sort of impossible dream sex.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's very
it's like the Winter Soldier, so Sebastian Stan's very handsome, so I believe
you. You're just on board because of that.
You bring the Winter Soldier into it. It's like, trust me, he'll carry you.
Yeah.
Quite
this
literally.
Is a different movie.
Not to me. But who are the filmmakers in this film?
This was directed by Brian Buckley, who made a film called Assad in 2012.
Okay.
It's a South African film that was nominated for an Academy Award. So, yeah.
Probably filled with people that you hate.
Yeah, it's a short film that was nominated for Best Live Action Short Film. So it's funny how many times I see that where there'll be like a movie and I'm looking up who did it. It was something like this where usually I'm like, what? Who the fuck is this? Is meh.
Yeah.
And then it's always somebody who made previously, oh, they won an Academy Award for or nominated for a short live action or short animated. And you're like, okay, so maybe their strength was in the short film.
Yeah, I was going to say, stick with short films, but.
Might be 100 minutes longer than maybe his best.
Than it should have been, right? I will give credit to Melissa Rauch, who does really thoroughly commit to this character. Like 100%. You do not see the seams at any point here. If anything, the anachronism of the fact that she is so adorably cute as a button and the way she looks. Like, I mean, I kept expecting her to belt out a song from Grease. She looks like young Olivia Newton-John.
Don't know who that is.
Okay, fair enough. That's adorable, too.
Yay! And it's all white. Yeah. Okay.
I'm adorable.
You know Xanadu? No? Okay.
I know, I heard of it.
This is going to be a whole other episode just to educate Chris.
Yeah,
exactly.
I need proper education.
whole other podcast.
Like, that whole anachronism, like, oh, look at those filthy words coming out of that really just adorable, cute as a button girl.
Right.
But at the same time, it just made me go, she clearly actually has some talent. I kind of want to see her play something, like, that's not just about, look how opposite this role is to, like, how I'm trying intentionally to look. I mean, hell, she would be good in a remake of Grease.
That's why you got to watch The Big Bang Theory.
I'm not saying she has to play, like, I'm not saying she has to play an adorable little girl role. I'm saying,
That's what she plays in The Big Bang Theory. That's what my mother tells me.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, they tried so hard to go for the exact opposite of what it sounds like she's known for.
Yes, exactly.
You know, anyway, that you're kind of like, okay, this whole thing felt a little, it felt so formulaic and calculated.
Mm-hmm. And just mean-spirited. Like, I felt bad. Like, it was just too mean.
I will be the first to admit that I tend to dislike those things in general. Like, I'm the one guy who doesn't really like Bad Santa. Everybody likes Bad Santa, and I'm like, I really didn't like it because that main character is such an utter prick through three-quarters of that movie. Like, I don't care what happens to this guy. Right. I don't want him to be redeemed. I want to see him accidentally run afoul of a serial killer.
Yeah. I always preferred Billy Bob Thornton or Armageddon. I connected with that character.
Oh, my God. You and Elliot.
I don't like that film. I just connected with that character.
Jesus. God help me. He doesn't know about Grease, but Armageddon.
Armageddon, yeah.
All about.
Michael Bay's classic. It's Michael Bay, right? Yeah, classic.
All those words are just awful.
People so rarely say those words in the same sentence together.
Beep
like
them
that.
Out in the final cut.
It's no Transformers 2, The Revenge of the Fallen.
Now I know you're kidding.
I am kidding.
Yeah, you picked the worst Michael Bay film.
Yeah. Last one I've seen in the theater.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not true. I saw 13 Hours with You, which was equally as terrible.
It is pretty bad. Yeah. I can't believe we're talking about Michael Bay.
Yeah, I apologize for getting us off topic.
Oh, that guy. He works his way into everything.
Yeah, and another thing. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What's up with that? Melissa Rauch, she'd make a great Michelangelo.
Yeah, definitely.
Why does it have to be a man? I don't understand.
Now we're getting somewhere.
All right, so let's bring this one to a close with final thoughts. Christopher Herman, take it.
I don't know. It's not as bad as Eddie the Eagle, I suppose. But we've pretty much covered it. It's a super dark comedy, and for the people that like that, who like, I don't know, young adult, where you follow extremely unlikable characters surrounded by idiots, this is the film for you. For me, it's not. I'd have to give it 3 out of 10 times I wish what's-her-name broke her ankles.
Emily?
It was extremely unlikable people that I didn't care about. For a long time. So, but the soundtrack was good, I gotta say that.
You said there was a lot of good hip-hop.
I did really like the hip-hop in the soundtrack, but I'm gonna give it one eye open, meaning I didn't totally fall asleep, but that sex scene woke me up.
Woke you up a little bit. Like, what's
instead of two eyes closed, we're gonna go with one eye open is my rating.
And they do make very clear the whole thing they say earlier. It's like, oh, you got your boobs, that's what killed your career, and you can't tell until that scene, and then you're like, Jesus Christ, you couldn't be a gymnast. There's no way. I think we're all on the same page here. I think this is just ultimately just, it's just not funny. There was a startling lack of even chuckles during sequences that there was even pauses for laughter in the film.
The time I chuckled, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the time I chuckled is when the guy from Silicon Valley had his, like,
Thomas
conniption.
Middlewich.
Or whatever, like, that's it.
She calls him Twitchy.
Twitchy. I mean, when he twitched, I giggled a little bit.
But that's the thing. He's actually a very funny comic actor, and he's great at playing that neurotic to the point of, like, physical disability characters, obviously.
But such a sad sack, and so abusive. Like, she was so abusive to him.
Why
that
would
it was
he be
like,
interested at all in her?
And then it's just, like, sad, not, like...
At best, you'd see that, like, okay, maybe he's kind of not such a nice guy and thinks, oh, it's easy to get into her pants, as it is, in fact, is established in the movie, and wants to just do that. But no, he's a good Christian boy who wants to be like, well, then double why would you be interested in her? You just have a hard time believing any of the relationships here. There were a couple moments that made me chuckle here and there, but not very many. Points to Melissa Rauch for, like I said, for completely going all in. I just think ultimately just wasn't a very good script is the biggest problem with this thing. And you know, I mean, even to the point, like, both that the jokes aren't very funny and that it's a really predictable story. There's nothing in here except for the sex scene that you don't see coming. Really, I cannot tell you enough how much that sex scene is what... don't see coming. But I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 insinuated pedophile jokes.
How many pedophile jokes are in this film?
Actually, I think maybe 2, but for the sake of a rating. There are points where you're like, you just insinuated that there was pedophilia there, and that's, wow.
Chris, just give it 2.
Just give it 2?
Yeah.
You gave it 3. Why do I have to give
because
it 2?
Because I gave Eddie the Eagle 2, and I think this movie is slightly better than Eddie the Eagle.
Wow. That is the second most shocking thing to be said tonight.
I'm giving it 3. Okay. And then after this, we're going to have a conversation about Armageddon in Greece.
Okay, I'm ready for it.